Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI appeals for peace in Kenya and voices his distress for ongoing strife in Iraq and in Colombia, as well as touching on a host of other concerns. Religious leaders in Kenya are working together to try to find a solution to the crisis which has engulfed the nation since the disputed December general election. In preparation for the Ordinary Synod of Bishops coming up in October, during which the theme will be the role of God's Word in the life of the Church, the Pontifical Salesian University has opened an exhibition on ecumenical translations of the Bible. And Father Jim Brand picks up on the Pope's message for Lent and on the Church's proposals of some specific tasks that accompany the faithful concretely in a process of interior renewal. Pope Benedict XVI expressed his hope at the Sunday Angelus prayer that a peace deal can end the violence sparked by Kenya's disputed election, and he called on all Kenyans to work to restore normality. But Kenya was not the only concern the Pope expressed as he spoke to the faithful gathered in a rainy St. Peter's Square for the weekly rendezvous. As well as his appeal for justice and peace in Kenya, Pope Benedict spoke of the ongoing strife in Iraq and Colombia as well. And he sent greetings to the millions of families throughout Asia who this week will gather together to celebrate the new lunar year. And he spoke of the 150th anniversary of Our Lady's apparitions to Saint Bernadette in Lourdes and the right to life of the unborn child. Emma McCarthy was there and tells us all about it.
Pope Benedict XVI spoke of all of these pressing issues Sunday, asking the thousands of pilgrims huddled beneath umbrellas in St. Peter's Square to join in his Angelus prayer.
Vi invito ad unirvi ai fratelli e alle sorelle di Kenya.
The Pope began with an appeal for Kenya. I invite you to unite in prayer with our brothers and sisters in Kenya, he said, some of whom are present here in St. Peter's Square, for reconciliation, justice and peace in their country. The Pope added that he hoped mediation efforts underway will succeed and, with the goodwill and cooperation of everyone involved, lead to a rapid resolution of the conflict, which has already produced far too many victims.
La malvagità, con il suo carico di dolore, sembra non conosce limiti nell'Iraq.
Pope Benedict XVI's thoughts then turned to Iraq, where on Friday, in an unprecedented and cruel attack, two mentally handicapped women bombers left over 100 people dead in Baghdad. The Pope said, "Wickedness with its burden of pain seems to know no limits in Iraq, as we see from the extremely sad news of recent days."
No dejo de elevar fervientes súplicas a Dios por Colombia.
Speaking in Spanish, the Holy Father also called for reconciliation and justice in Colombia, a country, he said, was ravaged by extortion, kidnap and violent death. The Pope said he was appealing to God for an end to this inhuman suffering and that he was also praying for reconciliation, mutual respect and sincere harmony to prevail in the country. He said that brotherhood and solidarity were the solid basis to obtain just progress and to construct a stable and lasting peace.
La fraternità e la solidarietà.
On a lighter note, Pope Benedict XVI also looked ahead to imminent celebrations in Asia to mark the new lunar year, which begins February 7th and is celebrated in China, Vietnam and other countries of the Far East.
Le festività del Capodanno lunare.
Millions of families, said the Pope, will gather in joy for these celebrations. Referring to his World Day for Peace message, Pope Benedict urged them to preserve and treasure those human values of civil coexistence which are born of and nurtured in the family. Another of the Pope's intentions this Sunday was connected to the Day for Life, which is celebrated in Italy on the first Sunday in February each year. Commenting on the theme chosen by the Italian bishops to serve life, the Pope said, "It is in fact the common task of all to welcome human life as a gift to be respected, protected, and promoted, and all the more so when it is fragile and in need of attention and care, both before birth and in its terminal phase.
Abbiamo celebrato la giornata della vita consacrata.
The Pope also recalled Saturday's celebration of the World Day for Consecrated Life. He told pilgrims, "Our gratitude goes to these, our brothers and sisters, who dedicate themselves to the total service of God and of the Church through the vows of poverty, chastity and obedience."
Da ieri fino all'intero giorno dell'11 febbraio, memoria della Beata Vergine di Lourdes.
And finally, Pope Benedict XVI recalled the 150th anniversary of apparitions at Lourdes as the Universal Church prepares to mark the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes on February 11th. The Holy Father announced that running from February 2nd until 11th, the faithful will be able to receive a plenary indulgence, which can be applied to the deceased under the usual conditions, confession, communion and prayer for the Pope's intentions. This, noted Pope Benedict, will lead the Universal Church towards that most important period in the Church's calendar, a period of intense spiritual preparation.
In a few days, we will celebrate Ash Wednesday, the beginning of our annual Lenten journey towards Easter, Mass's season of spiritual renewal before all Christians, an occasion to draw nearer to the Lord in prayer, penance, and the pursuit of holiness. Upon you and your families, I invoke God's blessings of joy and peace.
Thanks to Emma McCarthy for that report. Meanwhile, in Kenya, talks aimed at resolving the nation's post-election crisis have resumed in the capital, Nairobi. Scores of people have been killed in the last 2 days, despite an agreement signed by the president, Mwai Kibaki, and opposition leader, Raila Odinga. Weeks of political and ethnic violence have left hundreds dead and driven many thousands from their homes. Kibaki claimed victory in the presidential vote on December the 27th, but the opposition says the vote was rigged. Archbishop Alain Paul Le Bopin, the apostolic nuncio to Kenya, told Vatican Radio today that the Pope's appeal for peace, justice and reconciliation is echoing across the country.
Of course, the intention of prayer of the Holy Father yesterday to the Angelus is very important, and all the news in this country, all the television, radio and newspaper this morning speaking about giving the news of the prayer of the Holy Father. On what he said, of course, it is important for not only the mediation, but also for all the people of Kenya to understand that are not just the leaders, of course, who have to do this peace, reconciliation and justice, but of course is built also in the heart of each person. So all men and women in Kenya are called also to do their part. Because, as the Holy Father said, it is also with the collaboration of all, and that it is particularly important because that all people here are feeling responsible of the future.
Archbishop Le Bopin also elaborated on the need for a deep process of reconciliation after times of such horrific violence.
The reconciliation, of course, in a process when it is so, has been with so horrible things. Of course, to be a Christian, it is to refuse retaliation. To be a Christian is to refuse to kill your neighbor, to put out your neighbor. All that is against the gospel. And is where, of course, the Church is recalling that, what the bishops are doing in their diocese. And it is to call, and we are just at the vigil of the beginning of the Lenten season. Why it's so important that is said now, because it's a question of conversion. And of course, more the time will be going with these horrible things that are happening in Kenya, more it will be difficult to get reconciliation. But we have to pray and we have to work. That has to be made by all persons.
You've been listening to Archbishop Alain Paul Le Bopin, Apostolic Nuncio to Kenya. And staying with news from Kenya, just the other day I received an interesting press release here at the radio informing that religious leaders in Kenya are working together to try to find a solution to the crisis there. I decided to find out more and called up Christian Aid, a relief development and advocacy agency of 41 sponsoring churches in Britain and Ireland. I spoke to Judith Melby, the Africa specialist there. I received this press release just recently about the crisis in Kenya and about the fact that there are religious leaders in Kenya working together to try to find a solution to the ongoing crisis. Can you tell me about this? Who are these leaders? What is their strategy?
Religious leaders obviously have very, very deep networks throughout all the communities in Kenya, and they will be key to finding a settlement. And there is a forum which is called the Interreligious Forum, which consists of the Anglican Church in Kenya, the National Council of Churches, Methodist Church, Episcopal Conference, Supreme Council of Muslims, the Hindus, and the Evangelical Alliance of Kenya. And a number of these churches are partner organizations of Christian Aid. Anyway, under the umbrella of the Interreligious Forum, they have set up a number of teams to work during this crisis. And there's a humanitarian team, there's a media team which is spreading, distributing messages of reconciliation. But there is also, importantly, a political mediation team which has held discussions both with the president and the leader of the opposition.
How have the parties involved reacted to their propositions?
Well, it's in the early stages at the moment, and certainly all political leaders understand the importance of the churches and the role the church plays in Kenya. So I'm sure they are being listened to, but the situation in Kenya is extremely complex. So this is really just one part of the solution we need to find.
I see that the forum is also working closely with the African Union mediation, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Well, the African Union sent the first mediator, the head of the current chairman of the AU, John Kafur of Ghana. He, in turn, has been followed by the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. But the African Union clearly has a role to play in finding a solution, and it is a test for the African Union, and it's important that the churches work closely with the African Union.
How do the people on the ground, the Kenyans themselves, see the work of the religious leaders, and how do they receive their visits?
Well, we've seen the role the churches play already in that extremely unfortunate incident in Eldoret, where a church was burned down. I mean, churches and religious leaders are seen as places of sanctuary, people to go to talk to. I think it's tremendously important, of course, in a period of really heightened tension. It's unclear whose message is actually getting through, but it's important that church leaders continue to give their messages of solidarity and the necessity of reconciliation.
I see here that one of the commitments of the religious leaders is to make these solidarity visits, as you've just said, to the most affected regions. Do you have any news of these visits? How are they going?
Well, they are being listened to when they're on the ground, clearly, but, you know, one is never sure whether they are being listened to by the people who would listen to them anyway, or the leaders, if you like, of this ongoing strife. And that is something, clearly, which will only be measurable in time. I mean, it's far too early to actually say this is having a definite effect. But equally, it's just as important that they continue.
Judith, you're the Africa expert, so I'd like to ask you, what do you foresee in the near future? What's needed in Kenya?
We need leadership from the political leaders. Someone has to stand up and show commitment to the future of the country and to show leadership and to talk about how Kenya was as a nation and can be as a nation. But there needs to be a political commitment and leadership from the political leaders. This, although it has brought to the surface various other tensions, did indeed begin as a political crisis. And there needs to be a solution at a political level. And I think, you know, what observers are saying, and certainly what Kofi Annan has said, is that if people on the ground see that political leaders are committed to finding a solution and are going to work together, that will send a very powerful message.
So do you think there is hope for dialogue?
There has to be hope for dialogue. Absolutely. I mean, otherwise, the future would be intolerable. Of course there's hope for dialogue. It takes commitment on both sides, and both of them are capable of talking.
You've been listening to Judith Melby of Christian Aid. And turning back to news from the Vatican, Pope Benedict has asked religious men and women across the world for their contribution in the run-up to this year's Ordinary Synod of Bishops, which will focus on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. Speaking to the hundreds of priests, brothers and sisters religious gathered in St. Peter's Basilica on Saturday, at the end of Mass celebrating the Feast of the Presentation of Our Lord and World Day for Consecrated Life, Pope Benedict XVI said, "The next ordinary session of the Synod of Bishops will be dedicated to the role of God's Word in the life of the Church."
Vi chiedo, cari fratelli e sorelle, di offrire a questo impegno ecclesiale.
I ask you now, my dear brothers and sisters, the Pope said, to offer your contribution to this ecclesial appointment by witnessing how important it is to put God's Word at the heart of everything, particularly for those of you whom the Lord calls to be His intimate follower. In fact, he continued, consecrated life is rooted in the gospel. It has continued down through the centuries to be inspired by it as its first rule, and it is called to return to it in order to be constantly rejuvenated so it may bring the fruits of the salvation of souls.
Per la salvezza delle anime.
It was the second time during the week that the Holy Father looked ahead to the October 2008 appointment. Earlier, in fact, Pope Benedict told those preparing for the synod that the subject is important for ecumenism. He said that ecumenical dialogue must be animated solely by constant reference to the original Word of God. In preparation for the synod, the Pontifical Salesian University this weekend opened a three-month-long exhibit on ecumenical translations of the Bible. My colleague on the news desk, Charles Collins, has this report.
Biblical scholars from different Christian churches and denominations from across the world met at Rome's Pontifical Salesian University to discuss common biblical translations and how the work to produce scriptural translations which can be used by all Christian communities has progressed since the Second Vatican Council. The Dean of Theology at the University, Giorgio Zavini, says that scripture studies can help bring separated Christian communities together. Professor Zavini says that in these post-council years, we have walked together in this way for a long time and now have greater collaboration interconfessionally and ecumenically. One Protestant participant agrees. The president of the American Bible Society, Dr. Paul Irwin, says the Bible is a common ground across cultures.
The ecumenical cooperation in terms of translation of sacred scripture is one of the refreshing breezes that is blowing through the broadest reaches of the churches. The Bible is, of course, the common ground for all Christians. The way the Bible is appropriated by one community may be different from another, but the Bible is the central word, and this is where we all stand together. And it's just been refreshing for me to be here in Rome today and to be reminded that American coming in here speaking English transcends all of the kinds of differences when we gather around the Word of God.
He says that although the scriptures are ancient, they are still alive and active.
You have scriptures here available in a multitude of modern languages where people can read the Bible in their own heart language. But also, in the connections that are broader from this exhibit, you begin to realize that the scripture is made available on telephones, on your cell phone. You can push a few buttons and the scripture is there. You can hear the scripture in music interpretation. You can see it in the movies. And so what we're doing is reminding people the scripture is ancient, but it is alive and active today in our world, touching the lives of people.
A special exposition dedicated to the interconfessional translations of the Bible will be open at the library of the Salesian Institution until April 29th. I'm Charles Collins.
And this week sees the beginning of Lent. Ash Wednesday, that falls in 2 days' time, marks the start of the 40-day liturgical season of fasting and prayer before Easter. In his message for this very special time of the year, Pope Benedict pointed out that the Church makes it her duty to propose some specific tasks that accompany the faithful concretely in this process of interior renewal. These are, he said, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Father Jim Brand, spiritual director at the Pontifical Beda College, picks up on these Lenten proposals.
Hello, it's Father Jim. For Lent, I'm making some noises about prayer, fasting and alms deeds, which our Lord asked us to observe in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 to 7. And I was talking about prayer and saying that we are a statement of God. Each person is spoken into being. But a form of prayer that helps most people is what they called Lectio Divina, where you take something beautiful, you think about it, you pray about it, and you just sit with it in silence and wonder and thanks. And this is one of the poems from the Prophet by Khalil Gibran, a Lebanese mystic. I've already shared in the past one on friendship. This is about religion, which for me sums up that prayer covers everything, really. The prophet has come from a far country to spend a while with the people. Now it's time for him to be taken away and they can see the smoke of the ship on the horizon coming. But before he's taken away from them, it's obviously the Lord, I think. They say, speak to us of prayer, speak to us of children, what do you have to say about friendship and love? And an old priest said, speak to us of religion. And he, the prophet, said, Have I spoken this day of aught else? Is not religion all deeds and all reflection and that which is neither deed nor reflection but a wonder and a surprise ever springing in the soul, even while the hands hew the stone or tend the loom? Just pausing there in the poem, I go out into the garden to plant my plants, or I'm on the balcony sowing seeds or pricking out the seeds. I used to go into church when there's nobody there and play a piano concerto on the piano in front of the tabernacle. That was my prayer. Or I go and play an organ concerto. Hope our Lord liked it. Entertain him. I once saw a wonderful clip of a juggler in front of a statue of Our Lady. I think he had 5 balls. He was juggling with the balls and sort of looking it up at Our Lady as if to say, I'm doing this for you. Wonderful way of praying, if that's him. The poem continues. Who can separate his faith from his actions or his belief from his occupations? Who can spread his hours before him saying that that's for God, and this is for myself, this is for my soul, this other's for my body? That's doing a vivisection on oneself. And sometimes people go into church to pray. They leave their umbrella on the hook at the back with their overcoat. They hang their body up there and go in as a soul. And they wonder why they can't pray, because they aren't all there. We're talking about human prayer being brought into the divine prayer. We mustn't get a crowbar between them. And the poem continues, all your hours are wings that beat through space from self to self. And he who wears his morality but his best garment were better naked. The wind and the sun will tear no holes in his skin. And he who defines his conduct by ethics imprisons his songbird in a cage, and the freest song comes not through bars and wires. makes me think. Have you ever met somebody who's offering you up for the souls in purgatory? Talk about a freeze-off. Or one eyeball's looking at you, and the other eyeball's looking at the crucifix on the wall, as if I'm being played off against Christ. Don't let's play off others against God. We can only say we love the God we can't see if we love the brother or sister we can see. Otherwise we're out of focus for our neighbour and out of focus for God. Our eyeballs are all over the shop. And it continues, for he to whom worshipping is a window to open, but also to shut, hasn't yet visited the house of his soul whose windows are from dawn to dawn. So the whole universe is sacred and a sanctuary. Don't let's play off religious and secular. Everything is sacred. Our homes are the greatest sanctuary. I used to be embarrassed when asked to bless homes at Easter. And I used to say, I'm the one who's blessed by being allowed to come into your holy home, where people love each other. Parents are the high priests of their family, really. But we sometimes stick God in sanctuaries or holy places. I'm not a great one for shrines. I find Our Lady in the greenhouse. I find the Lord everywhere. So the prophet continues, your daily life is your temple and your religion, and whenever you enter it, take with you your all. Take the plough and the forge and the mallet and the lute, the things you fashion in necessity or for delight. In other words, work and play. For in reverie you can't rise above your achievements nor fall lower than your failures. You know, Jim's just Jim, that's all. Here I am, Lord. And take with you all men. The church is not meant to be a ghetto. All. Be a universalist. Take with you the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Jains and the unbelievers and the atheists and the humanists. Because God loves all. All people have been spoken into being by God. For in adoration you cannot fly higher than their hopes, nor humble yourself lower than their despair. We're just ordinary people. And what we carry is this, if God loves Roman Catholics, there's hope for the Hindus. If God loves Jim, there's hope for everybody, I tell you. We're not supposed to be superior or inferior, we're just by God's grace. And if you would know God, be not therefore a solver of riddles. One of the greatest riddles is God. Some sermons explain God and explain God away. How dare one explain God? It's the great unknown, the cloud of unknowing, the great mystery. The more we know, the more we realize we've hardly started. So don't solve riddles, and certainly don't explain parables, please, or you'll explain them away. Rather, look about you and you shall see him playing with your children. I always used to spend hours in the playground, just amazed at seeing children play. I wish grown-ups could play, too. And look into space, and you'll see him walking in the cloud, outstretching his arms in the lightning and descending in rain. And you shall see him smiling in flowers, then rising and waving his hands in the trees. Amen.
Laudetur Jesus Christus.